Hello and welcome to How to Make a Podcast in South Africa. I'm Jonathan Vanker, the MD of the South African Podcasters Guild and your host. Today I bring you the second part of my conversation with Francois Retief, the COO of Iono.fm. Iono is South Africa's largest podcast hosting platform, with over 2,500 South African podcasts registered. Francois has unrivaled access to data and insights, and because he's also very nice, he's using what he knows to answer the following questions. What's the average audience size of a South African podcast? What's a good audience size for my podcast? How many listens do I need to make 10,000 Rand? How many listeners do I need to monetize a show? What is syndication and how does it work? Where should I advertise my podcast? And lots more, including five questions from the South African Podcasters Guild community. Let's get straight into it with Francois Retief. What's the average audience size for a South African podcast? Let's start there.
Successful podcasts in South Africa, and yeah, I haven't looked at the last 6 months, but sort of yeah, off the cuff, they typically operate in the tens of thousands in right. terms of downloads per month, and this is across and with this, yeah, we measure per publisher. Mm-hmm. So then you know you would have a one or more podcast shows that somebody's producing, and the number ratios are normally close to. Two listens per unique per month. Mm-hmm. And obviously there are people that listen to a lot and there's people that only listen to one or two. So then you get to an audience of sort of in the thousands to tens of thousands of listeners. Let's say between 1,000 and 50,000 listeners a month.
Okay. So we're talking tens of thousands per month in downloads or listens. To those are the people you characterize as a successful podcast making a pretty good income, right? Yeah. So how short is that head and how long?
We can talk about a pretty good income and what that means, but yes.
Well, of course.
Let's say these are the guys that show up.
Absolutely. Yeah, I can almost hear Gavin Kennedy saying it depends. Because as you say, what is a good income? Then also there's the other models besides advertising and besides CPM. So you can have a very successful, very financially viable model, as you said with the tractor example, which doesn't have any advertising.
Exactly.
Yeah. So don't, you know, I don't want to discourage people, but I think we should.
I'd normally start by saying podcasting is not a get rich quickly scheme.
Yeah.
The guys that are successful do it because they are passionate about it and they really enjoy it.
Right. It's a get rich slow scheme, if anything.
Yeah.
Right. Which is what most content creators, I mean, you look at your Casey Neistat, your Seth Godin, both prolific bloggers and bloggers who spend kind of years building their audiences to millions now, but it takes time.
Exactly, it does. And I wonder with those, I suspect, you know, the question is if you ask them, you know, had you known that you would not be making millions out of it, would you still have done it?
Right.
You know, how many of them would say, well, this is what I enjoy doing?
Sure.
Yeah.
Or could I have built another type of the opportunity cost of running the podcast or the blog or the vlog or whatever it might be. Yes. If Casey Neistat had kept on making adverts as a director, would he have made more money? I feel like that curve goes very flat and eventually will overtake what you've done with most ventures, especially in terms of having a standard career, right? Salary kind of thing. Mm. If you build your own company, then the scale very much depends.
Got a mentor who joked and he said, you know, you have to, you know, he spoke about prostitution. You're basically just selling yourself to get money.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is maybe a bit crass, but, you know, but it is an accurate description.
Yeah.
So how much would you make by just doing that? But then, you know, there are a lot of other things as well. How many people would you have influenced? You know, would you have, what would have been your quality of life?
Yeah.
So I think there's a lot of factors that plays into it.
Because I think the podcaster, whether it's a side gig or whether it's the main gig or whatever it is, quality of life can be amazing.
Exactly.
I mean, you're your own boss.
And the other opportunities, like, as you say, because a lot of those people you spoke about, you know, it's podcasting. One of our very successful podcasters, you know, used to run ads with him and he actually sold his podcast to somebody else now. Mm-hmm. He's still got a couple of other ones, but yeah, I would approach him with ads and he says, just run the stuff. He says, I don't really care. You know, maybe I make money, maybe I don't, but this isn't an enabler for my other business.
Right.
It's more like a business card. This is now, you spoke about Gavin Kennedy. I love his Myers-Briggs for podcast, the personality model. Mm. And one of the most powerful concepts there for me is also Is your podcast, is your audience your customer, or are they, are you selling them to somebody else?
Yeah.
Because that has a massive impact on how you do it and how you see it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And I think if you really want to make money out of it, then if you can generate enough customers as listeners, you know, you can do pretty well.
If you look for solid gold podcasts and audiobooks, you can find the personality test there. And if you go through that, it'll give you kind of a vague, like, well, it'll give you a pretty good idea of the kind of podcaster you are. And I think it's really important that you kind of, I don't want to use the word follow your truth, the phrase follow your truth or anything like that, but don't try and be a finance podcast making machine in the goal of making money.
Oh, definitely.
If that's not who you are, you know, if you, like, don't start a podcast because you think it's going to be financially viable, because trends change. If you're not passionate about it, you're going to pod fade. People will sense that you're just not an expert in that world. Like, you have to become an expert.
About people that has been doing it for, you know, 10, 15 years. Mm. You're not going to be able to sustain it if that's not your passion.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. So now we talked about, if you're a successful podcaster in South Africa, making money through advertising, we're talking about tens of thousands of downloads per month. Let's talk about the long tail, which I'm firmly in with my shows as well. If someone, I know this is probably an annoying question to hear, but like, what's a good audience size for my podcast, Francois?
Yeah, once more, that's quite difficult because we tend to focus on the guys at the top, because just because from advertising, we sell them as well.
Sure.
And I've actually, and also because we are very advertising focused. Mm. So we are looking at more downloads per publisher per month, because or per podcast or per stream, per channel per month. Mm-hmm. So I think I think you asked me earlier sort of what, were various podcasts doing, how well did they do in their first 3 months or 90 days? Mm. And I looked at a couple of cases, and one of our best podcasts was an international one, which did over 220,000 listens in the first 30 days, mm-hmm. but only took off after 15 days. But something which was better for me was one of the ones lower down. It's a podcast that did over 10,000 listens to date. Mm-hmm. They did 7 listens in the first 90 days. And this was published in May of 21.
Wow.
So I would say definitely if you talk about successful podcasts, I would personally say, if you are into the hundreds, close to 1,000, you're doing pretty well.
Right. Everyone starts at zero. It's a radio station where you have no audience and you have to build it yourself, kind of thing, So it's difficult to pin numbers on these things. We did a poll in the WhatsApp community saying, how big is your kind of average episode downloads?
I would
downloads?
Actually be very interested in that as well, because you also have access to some data.
Yeah. I think to get, I think we had maybe 15 or so people responding to that poll. But if we could get it across the 125 current members, then that, we will have start developing our own interesting
and
data.
And what was the numbers people were giving through?
It was, you've got Darren and Nicole at the top with I think it was a 10,000 plus kind of thing. And mm-hmm. But Darren's show is also very much YouTube based.
Yes.
And then somewhere in the middle, there was my show, South African Expats, which has on average each episode about 400-ish downloads. Mm-hmm. But that's a misleading number, because my show has been around for 2 years. It's evergreen content. It's about immigration. People keep searching for that and it builds up over time. But if we had to look on a shorter time scale, it would definitely be, when I was producing it consistently, it would be about 100, 115 kind of thing. Mm. And then by far the majority is still languishing in the kind of the 50 to 100 downloads per episode. I guess you have to put a time frame on those things, but let's say the first month.
Yeah.
So
first month, I would say is quite short for podcasts.
Yeah.
Sort of 90 days, maybe. Mm. But it also depends very much on the type of content and how you measure success. Mm. Yeah. If you've got a news type podcast and, first 90 days is plenty.
Yeah.
That is your life. But if you're doing an evergreen podcast, then how well is it going to do in a year's time, 2 years' time? And a lot of these things I was talking about. So this bottom one I mentioned that only did 7 downloads in the first 3 months and has now done over 10,000. Mm. That's a children's story. So it gets discovered and shared and it grows.
Of course, parents share that stuff like mad.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the numbers are very much influenced by the type of content that you do. And I think also, you need to decide what is your goal? What do you want to achieve with it?
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a maybe not 100% related, but I remember years ago, I was in Stellenbosch and went to the church there, and I have these missionary weeks, and there was a story of a lady that was opposite a very poor school, and she was praying for somebody to get converted in the school. And then for 10 years, one guy converted, and he then went out and founded one of the largest missionary groups in the world.
Right.
And that's just the one person that she converted.
Yeah, that's that tractor sold.
But, you know, so all of that, there are a lot of aspects to it, and finding reasons for this, to work for you. Obviously, our goal is that you don't have to worry about the finances as you do it.
Right.
Because then everything gets a lot easier. And there are people that starts as a hobby and then at some point they can convert into it full time.
Sure. Yeah. When I mention relatively small audience sizes, that's in the context of, we're talking about advertising for podcasts, which are CPM. Mm. So in a later conversation, we'll talk about Patreon, we'll talk about subscriptions, we'll talk about merchandising, events, all that kind of stuff. And that's where a highly engaged, smaller audience, I mean, if they're all mountain bikers who are buying a mountain bike from you, you know, every listener, then you're golden, like you're totally fine.
You did ask sort of, if you only talk about advertising, how many impressions do you need to sell? And maybe this is useful for illustration. If your content is on Iono, and you use our programmatic advertising, then our platform fee is 18%. If you rely on somebody else to sell it for you, they would typically get 25%. So I've done two models. So let's say you are on Iono, you use dynamic advertising, and you sell the ads yourself. You've got the ability to do that. In order to make 10,000 rands a month, you need to run 24,300 impressions a month that are sold as ad impressions. If you want to make 60,000, then it goes up to 146,000 ad impressions a month. So you can see how quickly that ramps up. If you're relying on an external sales house, you need to do about 35,000 placed ads per month to make your 10,000.
Right.
This is sort of working on a CPM of about 500, which is sort of a conservative average. Mm-hmm. And then for 60,000, you need to do over 200,000
right.
a month. So you can see why I'm also saying, you need very big numbers.
Yeah. And that 7% makes a big difference as well. Yeah. So yeah, you do need big numbers. So that's a 10,000 rand income. It's covering the costs of your equipment, your software stack, tiny bit of your time maybe. But, you know, so you need what, 124, did you say, for a 60,000 rand income?
Yep. Was it? You need, if you're relying on somebody else to sell the ads for you, about 210,000
right.
ads run a month.
And through Iono?
Through Iono, yeah. So that's all of this would be through Iono.
Sure.
If you sell the ads yourself, then less than 150.
Okay, right. Sure. But then you've got the additional, obviously, legwork
then
of
instead
selling
of
ads.
Making content, you're now approaching people and mm-hmm. trying to sell ads. And,
yeah.
Or if you're fortunate, they're approaching you, but still you need to set up the contracts. Yeah, you need to manage the stuff around it.
Sure. And of course, you know, we're not talking about branded podcasts, which is another way to get paid for podcasting. It's just not going to be your personal podcast.
Making sort of bespoke. There's some people that are making good money out of doing podcasts for other people.
Hmm.
But then sort of, it's also the point where typically you need to have at least, you need to establish yourself. So you need to have your own good podcast. And then once you start hitting these numbers, you're going to get more opportunities, you know.
So
if you're doing, 25,000 impressions a month, there'll be more opportunities than just advertising.
Yeah. I've been in a number of workshops where Nicole Engelbrecht is the guest. Mm-hmm. And obviously True Crime SA is a mammoth of a show. And it's always funny listening to her tell her story because it boils down a lot to, I make really good content in a genre that people are very passionate about. And eventually I just grew so big that people started coming to me.
Yes.
You know, whereas for most people, it's like hard scrabble. I'm putting clips here and it's an omni-channel thing and it's so much work and all that. And you're desperately trying to get attention. But if, you know, in the world of content, content is king. If you focus on that, you would be, you can make the argument that it's great to focus on creating great content first and then build the audience and then people will come to you eventually. Mm. I mean, there is like an accelerating, like the winners keep winning kind of thing.
She is, she did a couple of clever things, I must say. And I love Nicole. She's such a nice and down-to-earth person. And I've been so privileged to sort of be on this journey with her and see how she's grown over the years. So I get a tremendous kick every time. Yeah, I see her name pop up somewhere. But, you know, the stuff that she says, obviously she did really good content.
Sure.
And for me, that is, you have to figure out what is it that you do. And as a podcaster, you know, it is about the quality of the content. The rest of the stuff is obviously also important, but that's your foundation.
Yeah.
But she also, she had a strategic relationship with a couple of people that syndicated her content. And she was willing to give people, you know, radio stations, the content and say, listen, I have it on your site. And if you can get downloads from it, and you get ad revenue, I'm fine with it.
Mm-hmm.
Which sort of surprised me because a lot of people just really try to hold on to things. So she was actually quite generous with a lot of stuff. But what she did do was she always remained in control of her content. And at one stage, she pulled that and said, listen, I'm now at the point where I'm not syndicating my content anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm taking control back of this. And at that point, she was big enough that it worked for her. I think if you talk about, we haven't really spoken about syndication platforms and other things.
Yeah.
The question I often get is, how many listeners do I need to monetize the show? Now, if you're a good podcast, if you have, let's say, 2,000 to 3,000 impressions a month, you get into the range where publishers will, advertisers will start seeing you.
Okay, 2,000 to 3,000.
So you don't need that much.
Sure.
Although 2,000 to 3,000 a month is, it's still quite a number.
It is. Yeah, absolutely.
But it doesn't need to be the tens of thousands.
Right. You just need those tens of thousands to make a living out of it.
Yes,
or exactly. To start making a living
out of it. But at least you can start covering your hosting costs and some of your equipment costs and other things.
Absolutely. And I think the vital thing is, you know, at the SAPG, we just want to get people started so they get a taste of it and they go, and because a lot of it is also going to be about the experience of once you do start monetizing, it's just going to open you up to a world of how that works and how to get better at it, right? Mm-hmm. But when you have nothing to work with, nothing to learn, then you can't improve.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So we're talking about syndication and I'm going back to Gavin's model.
Mm-hmm.
Question is, what do you want to achieve? But if you want to sell your audience for advertising, then it's best if they are close to you. Now, the reality is that there are large platforms. You know, some people you're only going to get on iTunes. But a listener on iTunes versus a listener that is on your website, that sees your blog, that sees the other messages, you know, those are worlds apart in terms of the value for you.
Right.
So what most of the people would do is they would, couple of things. The first thing is if you look at platforms, you get two types. You get something like iTunes. So you get a hosting platform. That is where your podcast lives and where it gets sent from.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get syndication platforms. iTunes doesn't host content. Well, they started now, but traditionally they would just refer you to another hosting site. So it's, you know, it's a listing site. You can see the podcasts, but if you go to iTunes and you request one of the Iona podcast, it just forwards that request to us and we serve the file.
Right.
Now, my first recommendation is don't go for a lot of hosting sites because every time somebody creates a new file version, you've got your analytics, and if you need to monetize, you probably need to do it via that platform. So it splits your audience across multiple places.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the only guy that's sort of manufacturing podcasts, you know exactly how many you're shipping. If you give the plans to somebody else and they can now start printing and manufacturing it, you know, you're never sure again.
Right.
But, and if you talk about syndication, I would say that's a very viable strategy and it's almost something you have to play with.
Mm-hmm.
But always try and get your audience closer to you again. So your aim is, you know, there's no free lunch. There's a reason why they are doing it.
Right.
And that is because they can make a lot of money out of your audience.
Right. So if Cliff Central, like a network, for example, right? So
yes.
If Cliff Central says, we'd like to host your show and promote it and build your audience with you and all that kind of thing, is that a form of syndication?
It is. You get accelerator platforms.
Hmm.
So I don't think Cliff Central is... They used to do that. I think they moved more into bespoke content.
Mm-hmm.
Cogiso has got their Jackpot program. You know, Arena's done stuff around it. There are a couple of people that are, you know, that into that space.
Right.
Basically, then what you're doing is you're saying, let's take Cliff Central as a good example. You go to them and you say, listen, I don't want to worry about the hosting. I don't want to buy my own equipment. I don't want to do this and this. I just want to create great content.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, okay, we will do that for you, but we want 50% of the ad revenue as an example.
Right.
And you need to decide, is that worth it or is it not?
And how do those contracts work? For example, when you want to take it back, is there a 3-year contract or how does it work?
It's still a very new field, so there's not a lot of standards.
Okay.
So I would say, you have to evaluate it on a case-by-case basis and see where you get good value.
But you do want a clause in a contract that says that the intellectual property resides with you or reverts to you after a certain amount of time,
definitely.
Right?
You need to read the contract and you need to understand. Depends. They go to you and they say, listen, we want your podcast and we're willing to pay you 5 million rand upfront, but we own the property. You're probably going to say, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, I can always make more content in the future. Yeah.
But, if they just take it without, telling you or you're giving you an option, then it's a really bad deal.
Sure, sure.
So everything has to be evaluated.
Yeah. And I mean, also, if, for example, your content is your personal story, let's say you went and climbed Everest and got stuck there for 3 weeks or something.
Yes.
If they own that, then that's a story you're going to be telling for the rest of your life. So you want to maintain control of that. You don't want to be paying them royalties for your life story.
Every time you tell your life.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, completely right. And I think that is sort of the challenge with any new business area is, and any business, there's areas of uncertainty and you need to understand what's happening around you and be able to evaluate it and respond to it.
So this is the way we're going to do ads in this podcast, at least for now, is just me just plugging members. If you enter into a contract like that or any kind of contract, you can contact Aiton Stern at Legalese, who has his show, Big Fish Stories. So chat to him. Mm-hmm. Right. So let's talk then. I've got a couple more questions in this section, and then I just want to take a break before we do Q&A from the community. Mm-hmm. So how can we use analytics to improve our podcasts?
We've got very rich analytics. And I'm very excited because we are, our current version, which is version 2, is doing extremely well, but we're very close to launching our new analytics, mm-hmm. which will have even more options. But the type of things, so obviously the first metric, very simple, is just the amount of listens and the amount of listeners.
Right.
So being able to evaluate how well something is doing and being able to track that over time. Other things which then becomes useful is what is the listen through rate? Where do you start losing people? What percentage of people are still listening at 25%, 50, 75 and to the end?
Mm-hmm.
Are you maybe, is your show too long?
Right.
Is it too short? Then the next thing that starts coming in is stuff like time of day. When are people listening? What would be a good time for you to launch your podcast? Where do you get the most traction? Day of the week, demographics. And then it's trying to understand who are your listener and how do they interact and what's
right.
working and whatnot. And you're talking about A/B testing. A lot of it is also experimenting and trying different things and being able to measure and see if it actually has a response. Is it going in the right direction, the wrong direction, or not really making a difference?
Mm. And you can use some of those stats to inform, for example, if you do any boosted meta advertising or
yes.
Google.
So if you're talking about advertising, then your listen through rate and your click through rate becomes really, really important. We had in Skulk Beside Note when he launched his Your Mum show, they ran ads on Iono to promote it. And we, by the way, we also do language matching. So you can run a campaign across multiple different channels and we take the ad creative in the right language.
Right.
And we match it to the language of the channel. And he started with creatives both in English and Afrikaans, very broad spectrum, launched it, was getting an initial click-through rate of about 1%.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just improved it and we pushed it up to 4.5%. Over the duration of the campaign.
Right.
And that was by looking at where the content was doing well and moving the budget. So if you are in the advertising space, then metrics like that is really valuable.
So for podcasters then, for me, let's say, right? Let's say I go, organic discovery for podcasts is hard. I've got $500. I'm going to spend $500 a month on advertising. My choices are Google, including YouTube. We've got Meta and its whole family of stuff. And then there's advertising in other people's podcasts, say, for example, through Iono. What is the most effective?
Not funding our own business, but if you are in a, I would say first place, if you are in a position to collaborate with other podcasters
mm-hmm.
And SAPG, like you guys, you can maybe first you see this call. All the time. Yeah. Be a guest on somebody else's show, vice versa.
Sure.
If you can set that up, it's great. I spoke to two groups yesterday that are, in actual fact, I launched a campaign yesterday to promote content, and I got approval for another 100,000 Rand campaign to promote content. So we are running a lot of campaigns where people are advertising in order to get podcasters to listen to their podcast.
Sure.
Which makes sense. You know, if you want to advertise, you know, go to places where there are already podcasters.
Yeah, sure.
So that's definitely also a viable strategy. And then, yeah, the rest of the stuff, yeah, all the other sensible things around marketing. But I would definitely say if you do have a podcast and you want to spend some time on advertising, consider podcast advertising.
Sure, yeah. And also, I mean, until you get to such a scale, we have the ability to chat to each other directly, you know, through DMs, through contact details on podcasts and all that kind of thing. And then when you get to a point where, because 500 Rand isn't even a thousand people on an average CPM,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, I have to say currently our minimum campaign size is 5,000, but you can spread it over a period.
Sure.
So you can, you know, buy your 5,000 and run a year long campaign or something like
that. Okay, sure. Okay, that's
interesting. But it also depends on what you want to achieve, because depending on your audience, maybe you do want to run it quickly and get
instant results.
Get the instant results.
Sure.
So increase that growth curve, because your content, if you've got good content, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. And people will discover it. They'll share it. What you're trying to do is to boost it in the beginning, because, you know, you might have a very gradual curve, but if you advertise, you know, you get that sharp.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. Exactly. Growth. I'm out of touch now in terms of Meta, but I remember a few years ago that even if someone's following you in a group that they're a member of, the organic discovery rate is something like 6 or 7%. Like if I have the SAPG Facebook group and I post in it, 6 or 7% of the followers are going to see that message, where you would expect it to be 100%.
Yes.
But Meta has no interest in showing everyone what you post unless you pay them.
Yes.
So unfortunately, if you do want to grow quickly and if you do have available budget, think of the different ways that you can advertise, and that could be through start with the free stuff like guest swaps
you always start with the stuff that is free or that you can do. Once you run out of that, you start spending money,
right?
So
remembering the time is money.
Yes.
You know, what's more effective, 10 hours spent on TikTok videos or 1,000 Rand spent on a TikTok ad?
But if you already have let's say you've got a social media audience or you've got relationship with other people, or I would say that's a good starting point. You don't start with money as the default.
Sure.
But you're absolutely right. Yeah, you need to evaluate the opportunity cost and where you're going to get the best results for your money.
Right.
Or your time.
Sure. I think we're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we're going to go to community questions. So join us for part 3 very soon.
This is an advert for the South African Podcasters Guild. You can tell by the corny commercial stock music in the background. Here's a tip, try not to use music like this in any of your shows. That's better. Here's the ad. The SAPG is a not-for-profit industry body dedicated to helping South Africans make more, better podcasts. In the pursuit of that goal, we create content for SA podcasters. We also organize learning and networking events like PodCon and the South African Podcast Awards, but mostly we're a community. Our WhatsApp community has almost 100 members. Some haven't produced their first show yet, others are amateur podcasters who seek to grow and eventually monetize their shows, and we're fortunate to have some true experts who share their time and wisdom freely. Professionals who own recording studios, make branded podcasts for clients, and are editors, sound engineers, and content creators for a living. If you're a resident of South Africa, or if you're a South African who lives overseas, you can join the Guild. Go to sapg.co.za, where you can find everything you need to know if the South African Podcasters Guild is for you or not for you. Thanks for listening. Back to the show.
All right, welcome back to part 3 of our interview with Francois Retief from Iona.fm. This is questions from the community. We've asked on the WhatsApp community if anyone's got any questions they want to ask. And we do have some from Mongezi, from Gavin, and then one from ChatGPT. Definitely a member of the community. So Mongezi asks, he's got four questions for you. Number one being, the most common measure for sponsorship and brand partnerships is audience size. But surely the quality of your guests should matter just as much, quality being relative to what the brand considers it to be. What are his insights on brand partnerships where the audience is small, but the audience quality is high?
So I wouldn't say that it's all about audience size. I think we had the whole tractor example earlier in the podcast, which really illustrates that beautifully. It depends a lot on your sales model. And once more, you know, mentioning Gavin's work, you know, is your listener your product or your customer? Because if they are your customer, you can have very small numbers. I would say in this particular sense that the quality of your guest doesn't directly influence the value of your podcast. Yeah, it would influence the audience, but at the end of the day, it's the audience and the possibilities that they afford you which determines the value.
Right. So you wouldn't be able to say to an advertiser, I mean, there's an extreme example, but I've got Obama on my show next week, so you're going to pay more for the CPM on this. You know, they will say, well, your audience is still 100 people.
Exactly.
Right. Afterwards, if you get 10,000 listens, we'll talk, but not
at launch.
But
you should probably at least get the meeting with him.
Sure.
So, so they're going to pay for the value that they derive.
Mm-hmm.
But having good quality guests will raise the profile of your podcast and it should raise the numbers.
Yeah.
And that will then provide more value.
Right. Okay.
And if you have really good quality guests and you're still not getting audience, you need to figure out why.
Then you've got a marketing problem. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Right. So number two, is it more effective to go directly to brands or join an affiliate program such as the ones offered by distribution platforms? Like, for example, Buzzsprout can dynamically, or you guys, it's dynamic ad insertion. What are the trade-offs where, I think we've talked about this a little bit before.
We did talk about it a bit.
Yeah, the trade-offs of going directly to brands and pitching them essentially.
Yes, if you, it's about outsourcing risk and doing the stuff that you can. So the quick answer is if you have your own built-in ads, so baked-in ads, you don't give any revenue away. Whatever the advertiser pays goes directly to you. If you sell the ads, but you run programmatic through us, for example, that's going to cost 18% of what the advertiser sells. And if you wait for somebody else to sell your content for you, yeah, you're going to be paying 43% for that.
Yeah.
So, but then again, would you do better by creating more content or by knocking on people's doors and trying to sell advertising?
Sure.
So I think it becomes, yeah, it's definitely, if you can sell direct, it is the most effective, but not everybody can do that.
Sure. It's about your skill set and what you want to do with your time. Because if you just want to be a creator, then
exactly.
You know,
cold calling's hard. On our platform, we allow both. So we have people that sells their own stuff and then they run ads that were sold by somebody else.
What is the process of selling your own stuff through Iono versus dynamic ads?
So the first bit is just selling your own stuff as baked in. Mm-hmm. Where you need to, and this is sort of good practice. There can be differences, but you'll get approached by a brand. You'll have an agreement with them regarding what you deliver, how many ads, what the metrics are, and they'll pay you for that.
Right.
And you obviously need to make sure that you get the money and manage the contract. If you're booking via Iono, it's basically as simple as sending us instructions saying, run this ad here for this period. This is the CPM. These are the different ad creatives. This is the targeting. And we've got a form which contains all of the information. And we set it up, we run it. You get real-time access to the reports. You get weekly updates on progress. And we do all of the stuff for you.
Okay. So to briefly sidewind into another question, how important is quality of the ads themselves when it comes to, because you said, you're selling impressions essentially, right? But you are going to get higher in conversions if your ad isn't incredibly annoying. And I know that host read ads also tend to be more effective than, a Sanlam ad that just gets inserted like radio.
It also differs. So host read, I know host read ads are quite big in a lot of spaces. The practical challenge in South Africa is, let's say Sanlam comes to us and we're now running this ad across 20 podcasts. It's a lot of work to generate host read ads on 20 podcasts.
Sure.
And in a lot of cases now, you're going to get 1,000 rands yeah, as a publisher, do you want to do a host rate ad for that amount? And how much more effective is it than having the agency do a nice ad? And a lot of these ads are sort of a combination of radio ads and then digital as well. So we find that host rate ads can do very well, but you know, if you've got the right type of agency ad, you know, radio type ad, it also does really well.
Sure. Yeah.
And then the quality, I do agree with you. The last thing you want to do is to annoy the customer. That is why, for example, we allow ads to be skippable. Mm-hmm. And we often still have to explain to people why, as an advertiser, you want your ad to be skippable. You can have a longer message and you can also measure the response to it. So I would definitely say you always need to protect your audience as a publisher. That is your driving engine. Yeah, it's the goose that lays the golden eggs. So take care of your audience and take care of the type of ads. If we sent you an ad, you know, we would have vetted that and it would be a good quality ad. And if there's something around it that we're concerned about, we'll probably highlight that, saying, you know, we're not sure about this, but you can decide if you want to run it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You had us, you know, let's say, one of the early campaigns was a Philips, you know, male grooming products, and was quite an edgy ad.
Right.
But it worked well enough.
Sure.
And in the end, most people decided that they're happy to run it.
Okay.
You can always opt out of our ad campaigns, you know.
Sure.
It's not fixed.
Okay.
But definitely, if you look at conversions and things, the quality of the ad is going to determine how successful it is. So you need to weigh that up.
So for those listening as well and watching, do look forward in the future to an episode that I'm going to get done about how to write a good ad, you know, how to produce a good ad, because it's an art form in advertising that is decades old. And recently, you know, when I left advertising, it had become a point where it's mostly T's and C's. Big companies have a lot of legal requirements, cars, for example, balloon payments and all that. And it's become, there's still a golden part of radio advertising, but most of it is trash. What podcasting allows you to do is go beyond the 30-second restriction, you know, because it's as long as people won't skip. If it's enthralling, if it's interesting, if it's entertaining, if it's informative, you can make them as long as you want, as long as it's good. So I would love to do some kind of workshop or episode on how to write a good radio ad, because that's something I have a lot of experience in. Right. So let's carry on with the questions. What are the fastest growing genres on your platform?
Looking at our stats for last year, we had actually the one that grew the most was drama type content.
Really?
So, and this in terms of the amount of sessions, and then followed by current affairs, society, culture, things like that. And also had a growth in our family orientated, content. Mm-hmm. So those were the growth categories.
So, it's quite interesting because I've been chatting to Hendrik and Ethan Baird, another member plug there, about the audio drama that they're producing right now called Stripped, I believe. And are there any other podcast creators creating audio plays, radio play style content in South Africa?
We spoke about gaps, and I do think there's a gap in audio dramas. One of my favorite stories is actually when we just started in South Africa with Aris Gia. We were all sitting still. It's just a couple of guys sitting in one office. We had like single office with a large table. Everybody sitting around it. There was a coffee machine and a sink, and that was it. Mm. And we were working, and the telephone rings, which it never did at that point.
Right.
We just launched. And at that stage, you know, everybody that was listening was sort of family and friends. And so on the telephone is this old gentleman who says he wants to thank us because he said he's quite old now, but he still needs to work, him and his wife. And they love the Aris Gia soapy, but they can never listen to it because they're at the office. And now since we've relaunched this nice new technology, they come home at 5:15 and then the Tani puts on the kettle and she gets the coffee and the rusks and he takes his phone and he puts it in the middle of the kitchen table and then they press the button and they listen to this soapy. And he says, this is the best time of the day.
Yeah.
And that was just such a nice story because it sort of illustrated, at that point, it validated for me, you know, this is what we want to do.
Totally.
And I do think, yeah, people really connect to stories. And in Africa, we've got a very rich culture of storytelling and our stories are very popular.
Sure.
So I do think, yes, definitely.
I remember a couple of years ago when I started making branded podcasts, I just thought, like soap operas, man, Generations, and remember Egoli and all that kind of thing. They're such huge, incredible, popular shows. Like, where's the audio version of that that people can listen to asymmetrically when they want to, you know?
Media 24 is doing audiobooks, which they, but that's inside their own, it's unlisted channels, it's inside their own ecosystem.
Right.
They're interesting because they don't syndicate their content. You have listened to it on Media 24's sites or you don't.
Or nothing.
Exactly. And they've made that decision. They said, we're big enough. We're not sending our audience anywhere else. But yeah, be that as it may, they've got quite a lot of books that they would record and release as stories. Marula Media has got a soapy that's doing very well. Or sort of your various radio type dramas that they produce. There are a couple of guys that are doing it.
Yeah.
So, but I do think there's definitely a gap in the market there.
In a world of remakes and reboots and all that kind of thing, is there a gap for going to whoever produced Egoli first and saying, you've got this great universe of Egoli. Can we translate it into the audio version and retell exactly the same story, but just make it work for audio?
Interesting. I know that we're talking about that. I know that Jackpot is doing an Afrikaans version of Nicole's true crime stuff.
Oh, right.
In another language.
Wow.
And it's doing quite well. I do think there's definitely a gap there. We worked for a couple of years to try and get Springbok Radio stuff into the digital space, but that's dealing with the SABC and it was
as easy. Like Leverhexie in audio. I'm sure there'd be some.
Stahlberger and, you know, those sort of things, you know, squat cars.
Pumpkin patch.
Exactly. Which, you know, we're now really giving away our age.
Yeah.
But,
completely.
But, you know, there are good stuff and some of the stuff has become a bit dated, unfortunately. But I do think there's a gap to. I don't know how well Egoli would translate into audio space.
You know, a lot of people gasping and looking at each other significantly.
Exactly. Yeah. So, so you may need to have some commentary on what's happening.
Yeah.
It's always a question of how much of your value is in the visual elements versus the audio.
Sure.
But there's a lot of other good stuff, definitely.
Yeah, sure. And then finally from Mongezi, are brands more interested in niche or broad type podcasts?
The short answer there is depends on what works for them. So wherever they can get the good value. Your problem with niche is that your numbers are smaller, so you need to get much better CPMs. But it's also to some extent easier to build a niche audience. You know, it is quite challenging to get a broad audience with, you know, hundreds of thousands of listeners. In a sense, having a niche audience is, you know, it is easier, but it does mean that you move more towards your customer as your, or it's a listener as your customer type model.
Right.
If you want to make really good money out of it, you need to get much better conversion rates and things.
Yeah. So it's almost like genres kind of magically would sort themselves into different kind of models, you know. So if you're doing a soccer or a rugby podcast, there's an opportunity for a CPM-based thing there. If you're doing like a Japanese tea ceremony podcast, then you're going to be finding some other way to monetize that, essentially.
That 200 CPM campaign that was on a podcast, it was a niche medical podcast, and it was sponsored by a brand that wanted to reach those doctors.
Right.
So the opportunities are there.
Was that the 200 or 2,000?
2,000.
Right.
2,000 CPM.
Hectic.
Yes.
Yeah, because talking to doctors.
So that's R2 per audio impression or per ad delivered, which is
amazing.
Go to digital people, you know, they sort of just step back and they think they've misheard you.
Yeah, that's what people play for, conversions, not impressions.
Exactly. So it depends a lot on the type of audience and how you want to use it.
For example, you can have a niche podcast. Let's say it's about paddle, and paddle is a niche sport still. It's growing, but it's relatively niche. It's like they will prefer a niche podcast rather than advertise on a super sports show. They'll go, oh, this is about paddle and we sell paddle equipment. So
that the one show I spoke about earlier, so you can get big numbers in niche on the internet. So one show that got sold, It's a show called The Kona Edge. I don't know if Kona means anything to you.
It rings a bell, but I can't remember right now.
Okay. So that means you're not a triathlete.
Okay. Kona
is
you are, I know.
Biggest triathlete race in the world. It's like a bucket list. You know, once in my life, I want to do Kona.
Right.
And Brad Brown, or Brad Nadal, mm-hmm. who's also a very interesting guy to maybe get on at some stage. Mm. He's built a very large podcast business around sports, but then selling to the people listening. So he went and he did not just choose, one sport. He chose one particular race in one sport.
Mm-hmm.
The difference there is, triathletes are hugely affluent.
Yeah.
And he managed to build a brand which looked as though pretty much any serious triathlete in the world was listening to this podcast.
Right.
And that's very niche, and it got huge numbers, and he did very well of it.
Yeah.
And eventually sold it to somebody else.
Yeah.
So there's stories like that as well, which shows that if you do niche right, the thing is the world is a large place. And that's the nice thing about digital audio. You're not constrained to geography or country or anything like that anymore.
Mm.
So if you do get the right niche and you can really dominate that, then it becomes very valuable again.
Yeah.
You are you've got every Japanese tea ceremony person in the world listening to your podcast. And, it's tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands.
Yeah.
You can do something with that.
So then on to questions from Gavin Kennedy of Solid Gold Podcasts and Audiobooks. If the conversation with Francois goes anywhere near subscription models, I'm curious if there's integration on the cards for Iono, perhaps how Patreon ties in with Spotify. Mm.
It's something which we are interested in and looking at, but right now there isn't anything on. It might change.
Yeah.
I do agree. There are a lot more monetization models than just advertising.
Mm. Can you share what your 2024 roadmap is? What are you focusing
on
this year?
We're still finalizing some elements around it, but actually we want to give quite a bit of love to our podcasting platform.
Mm-hmm.
We want to work on ease of use on our administrative interfaces, which has become a little bit dated.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the new analytics is coming out. We want to get to the point where you can go directly onto an ad portal and you can book. So see how much inventory you have available, book stuff on that, have better integration into sort of the large media groups.
Mm-hmm.
So make things a lot easier in terms of knowing what inventory is available, finding your audience and being able to book them. And then also much better tools around the management of your podcast inventory.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing we're quite keen to do is actually to start looking at pass-through so that you can also use Iono as a syndication platform. You don't have to host with us, but you can still get the benefits of our analytics, our advertising, for anything that goes via our platform.
Okay, cool. Interesting. And then last question, this is from ChatGPT. Based on your wealth of data and insights, what advice would you give to someone just starting their podcast?
We mentioned it, but I just want to reiterate. People come to me and they say, where's a gap in the market? And I respond by saying, don't look at the gaps. What is your passion?
Mm.
What is the thing that really gets you excited? Where you would be interested in doing a podcast, for multiple years because you get enough out of that. Mm. And then follow that passion. Test ideas, get feedback, get it right, and then find a comfortable rhythm. You don't overcommit yourself. Make sure that you're consistent in what you do, and then build upon that.
Sure.
And as I said once more, do it because you really enjoy doing it.
Yeah.
Don't go into golf for the prize money. Go in because you really enjoy playing golf. And then, the money and the other stuff, that's a reward that you get as part of it as you go along.
If you're passionate about creating content but not marketing it, find a way to automate, share the load, outsource.
That's
some
the other
way
thing
of
that comes
stuff.
out of Marcus Buckingham's books is if you look at the very successful individuals, the top individuals in the world, they normally didn't operate alone. There are people sort of they've got one or two things that they are extraordinarily good at, and quite often they're really atrocious at all the other stuff.
Totally.
Yeah. but they find people that can boost those things. They find mechanisms to prevent those from being weaknesses.
Yeah.
Yeah. Either outsource it to somebody else or find coping mechanisms to just not suck so much at it.
Yeah.
That they sort of, they kill the rest of the value proposition they have.
Right. Well, thank you so much for your time. I hope that this has given everyone listening and watching a firm idea of what it takes to monetize your show through ads, what the other alternatives are, some inkling of what the other alternatives are. Once you've got 2,000 to 3,000 people in your audience, you can go into Iono and start making a little bit of side cash in it. So, and then grow from there.
You can start earlier. You can start with us and then get the analytics and see how to grow your audience.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, once again, definitely, if you're not happy with your host, or if you haven't started your show yet and you want to start one, I really do recommend going to Iono, especially because your free subscription tier is far better than almost like all other hosts, as far as I can tell. Your only requirement is that you keep posting every 90 days, right?
We give up to 50 episodes, one channel.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as you publish once every 2 months, that remains yours.
Right.
So exactly. There are some limitations on how much analytics you can see because we pay for a lot of those components. And you don't have multiple admins and multiple channels like our upper tier products. But yeah, with our free tier is not to restrict. So you can be on the free tier and get millions of listeners. We don't restrict any of the listening functions. You get the same, our world leading embedded players. Yeah, you get multiple quality profiles. Our players adapts to the type of device that your listener has and switches to, let's say, MP3 or ASC, depending on what they can handle. So you get all of those functions.
Right.
It's just some of the analytics functions and things, we have to scale back because we pay for those.
Sure. But if you do find yourself with 50 episodes in your catalog on a free tier at Iono, it's time to start paying for your subscription. Awesome. Thank you very much for joining us, everyone. I hope this has been useful, and we will catch you again in the next episode. Cheers.
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening to part 2 of How to Make Money with Your Podcast in South Africa. If you're a member of the SAPG, I hope you learned something or had a few good ideas while you listened. If you're not a member yet, but you're interested in becoming one, check us out at www.sapg.co.za or on our various social channels. We're SA Podcasters Guild on Instagram, we're sa.podcasters.guild on TikTok, and we've abandoned our X account. If you want to chat to me about anything, email me at john@sapg.co.za. I'm Jonathan Vanka, and it's been a pleasure to be your host.